Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
LeBron came up one series short of returning to the NBA Finals for the 11th time in his career. After 20 seasons in the NBA, the King has won four titles and reached the Finals 10 times. Really impressive numbers. Shannon, do you think LeBron has it in him to win one more chip?
Skip it. It all depends on what type of team they surround him with. It's going to also depend on he and AD's health. How healthy can they stay healthy? And will they be healthy once the playoffs start? I think there's an opportunity for him because he's shown that he's still an elite level player. With him and AD playing at a high level with the right pieces around him, Austin Reeves will continuously get better. Yes, I do think he can make another trip to the NBA, make a trip to the finals, and I think he can win it. I just don't know if D'Lo is the right fit for them because he's looking to score, and that's not what they need. They don't need a score first point guard.
Yeah.
They need a guy that can knock down timely shots and can make plays when needed. So I still believe healthy that LeBron is a top 10 player. I believe AD, when healthy and focused, he's a top 10 player.
Yep.
So you got two top 10 players surrounded with the right people, Skip. Yes, I think he can make a return.
Okay. I can never say absolutely never.
Right.
But I don't see him winning another championship because of what you say about how his points impact the scoreboard at 38. It's not the same as when he was 33
right.
or 2 or 1.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels different. And because of that, if he stays and finishes a Laker, I don't see this team winning a championship with him as a driving force with Anthony Davis, because you're pretty locked in. Those are your two pillars, right?
Right.
And I don't know, unless you do trade AD and you tell me you got back Joker or somebody
yeah.
like Joker, then you got me. But
right.
I don't see it getting that much better as the clock ticks toward his 39th birthday.
21st
now,
season.
Now, if you told me that after next season that Bronny got drafted by, I don't know, the Heat or the Celtics or somebody, and LeBron said, I want to go along for the ride there, and it was a team that had nuclear young capability where he could blend right in, then you got me.
You think LeBron's the guy that's going to go along for the ride?
No, but I mean, I'm talking about going along for a 40-year-old
yeah.
ride where you still would play your part and you would play your role as a
mm-hmm.
starter. You'd be the point guard. That's
right.
what you'd be.
Okay.
You'd be the distributor, and you would score. You'd average 20 points a game. You might average 12 assists a game.
Right.
You might lead the league in assists. But you need more firepower
yeah.
than I think they're going to be able to add around him, given the fact that LeBron and AD are max players
right.
sitting right in the middle of the salary cap.
Well,
right?
they need a guy like Bruce Brown. Bruce Brown's going to come off the bench, and you know you can pencil him in. He's going to give you consistent play. He's going to do X, Y, and Z every single on a nightly basis.
Okay. That's on Denver. They went and snatched people who I love Bruce
right.
Brown. I loved him in Brooklyn.
Remember,
I've loved him wherever he's been. He makes good things happen.
Traded for KCP.
Okay. It's he's 6'10".
Traded for Aaron Gordon.
Right? Aaron Gordon, you know, was a guy who could get you an occasional 20. I think
right.
he averaged 18 in Orlando, mm-hmm. and he would be right in the middle of slam dunk contests. So,
right.
you know, and then he reinvented himself
yeah.
as a banger this
yep.
year.
Yeah.
Right?
So you drafted Michael Porter, you drafted Murray, you drafted Yoke. You see.
Okay. And you had Joker, and you got the guy who's now in Portland, and you're going back and forth, Nurkic,
like,
and you go, let's go.
Can you imagine if they gave up Jokic? Dame, like, well, damn, why did y'all give up Jokic?
Okay.
Now, Dame and Jokic might be, ooh.
I liked Nurkic when he was there,
yeah.
and then all of a sudden they made the right
now,
move.
Now, can you imagine Dame and Jokic? You talk about Jamal Murray and Jokic.
You would have something. I would agree. Yep. Good point.
That would be fun to watch. Oh, my goodness. I like that thought.
Hey, it's Kaylee
Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to Undisputed, y'all, from Oxford to Seattle and now in L.A. We've got a very special guest with us in studio. Skip, I know you are pumped.
Take it away. Welcome to Undisputed. Yes, it's a pleasure to have you. Here's the irony of this for me. I'm looking across the table at a man who was you before you to me. And I covered him, and he was big and strong and fast and flexed out as he was called a tight end, but he wasn't really a tight end because he was the first real big, strong, fast wide out. And all of a sudden, you come along, and Shannon was 6'2", 215-ish? 228. I was thinking you by the end of the year.
Well, I started, came in as a wide receiver at 227, and by the time they moved me to tight end, I had to lose weight. I played probably like at 210, 212.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yes. Yeah, okay, but let's do 220-ish. Yes. So somewhere. Yes. And here you come. You're listed at 6'4", 235. Are you in that ballpark?
Yes, sir. That's exactly what I'm at.
And you run 4.33, and it's just not fair because it's not human, right? So what is your response to what you saw in him the first time you gazed upon this special?
Well, the first time I saw him, and I think AJ, they were on had a push on IG, and somebody posted it, and I said, it's Photoshop. Because ain't no way in hell of a man that big look like that. I thought it was Photoshop. I really did. I thought it was Photoshop.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, he really liked that. So I started getting like, as more things started to come out, I'm like, how can he play? But when you watch him and you watch that way, he can dip his hips and he can get in and out of breaks because that's the whole thing with a receiver.
Right.
I don't care how big, how fast you are. If you can't get in and out of breaks, you can't win in anything.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So how much time do you spend in the offseason working on things? Obviously, you, Skip and I, we were talking off air about, you know, your conditioning and your lifting and you're trying to make, you know, trying to put on as much strength as you possibly can. But how much goes into the technical side, the route running?
Right. I would say that starts like around this time, like around OTAs.
Okay.
I had to build a foundation of, you know, conditioning and strength before I even step foot on the football field to make sure, you know, I don't break down, you know, when I start running routes or going heading into the season. So, I would say it's like around this time to where I really start focusing on being a receiver.
Once the season is over, how much time do you take off, get away from it? I don't do anything. I'm not running. I'm not lifting before you get back into the guts of it.
Yes, sir. I take a month off. And,
okay.
So this year, you know, we lost in the first round of the playoffs. So I took all of February off and then started back working March 1st.
Okay. Mm. How about, you know, I had you on the podcast last year. You tell me all this bullshit, the Starburst and the Disney. Have you changed the diet?
It's crazy because after that, I did change.
Okay, I got it.
I don't eat as much cans as I used to. I still dabble a little bit, though.
Right.
You can't cut it all out at one time, but I still eat a little bit.
Well, you are burning it off if you're doing what you just talked about doing on a daily basis.
Yes, sir.
It's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
All right, before we go deeper into your NFL thoughts, a quick aside because we've been talking hoops all day because that's what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
You did play in the Celebrity All-Star game this past All-Star weekend, and you won the MVP of that game. No shock, because you're probably just bigger and better than anybody out there, right? What shot do you give these Boston Celtics of making history, coming from 0-3 down to win it in 7?
I mean, I don't like to put, you know, limitations on anybody.
Yeah.
I think, you know, anything is possible if a team actually puts their mind to it. I mean, Jimmy Butler and Miami Heat playing out of their mind right now. They playing like they don't have anything to lose. Like they just a bunch of dogs out there, a bunch of brothers trying to make it to the finals and go to, you know, make it to the championship and win it all. So it's going to be a tough battle for Boston. But, you know, I don't put nothing past nobody. Jason Tatum was an awesome player, him and Jaylen Brown. So, you know, they just got to come together and put it together and just play as a team like the Miami Heat are doing.
But your gut feeling is the Heat will figure a way to get this done before 7 games.
Right, yes, sir, because 3 games in a row, 4 games in a row after yesterday is going to be pretty tough.
Yeah. All right, back to football. back to the Seahawks, back to last year. Your team had a very good year, but at any point did you feel like you missed Russell Wilson on the field, on the scoreboard? Did you miss him at all?
Seeing him run out of the tunnel when we played him the first game, I was like, dang, that's crazy just seeing him in another jersey. I know I've only been there for 3 years of his career, but, you know, just that was weird to me. But after that, nah. I mean, you know, Russ is playing for the Denver Broncos. I play for the Seattle Seahawks. We're not brothers at that point. I'm trying to win.
How surprised were you that how well Geno played? He'd been around the league, had bounced around, really hadn't had a real fair opportunity or stable opportunity to become a starter. He gets this job, and all of a sudden he parlays that, goes to the Pro Bowl, parlays that into a big contract. How surprised were you, given what you had seen in him in practice, that he was able to play as well as he did?
I mean, I really wasn't surprised because he's been doing that with the scout team. And he's shown that leadership, you know, throughout my first 3 years there. And then when he got his opportunity, he flew out to Dallas to throw with Tyler. He flew out to L.A. to throw with me, to chill with me. Like, you could see the effort he was putting in to try to try to be the guy and try to be the leader, you know, that everybody expected him to be. And during the season, he didn't waver that at all. Like, he was still the first one to the facility, still watching film, still training. Like, he was the starter. And, you know, consistency is the biggest thing, you know, to me and in the league. So he was showing consistency week in and week out. And, I mean, he reaped the benefits from it. It didn't surprise me at all.
When you look at you, okay, no more Russell Wilson, no more B. Wags. You're basically the senior, the elder statesman now. How much more of a leadership role have you taken under your wing that says, okay, now I'm the new leader of the team now?
Right. I think I tried to do it too much last year. Tried to mimic too much of Bobby and Russ when, you know, I'm me. I can't mimic them and what they've established or built the foundation for 10 years there. So I think I got caught up in trying to be too much of a vocal leader.
And that's not who you are, though.
No, I'm a leader by example. I go out there and I work hard. And, you know, if you're going to follow me, you're going to follow me. Or if you're not, you're going to get left to the left by the wayside.
Okay.
So I think this toward the end of last year, I just shut up and just started playing football. And this year, when I flew back up to Seattle and started training with the rookies and started training with the team, that's all I did was just shut up and just started working and showed people how I worked. And, I mean, it just turned out way better for me this time than it did last year.
Do you talk at all during games to the people who are trying to cover you?
If they started, I don't ever go out there trying to start talking, but if they...
Because that guy, he started it, right? And finished.
Right.
So I'm looking at your numbers. I mean, you came in your draft class with A.J. Brown, Debo, McLaurin, Marquise Brown, Hunter Renfrow. And games played, your first. Targets, your first. Receptions, your first. Receiving yards, your second. Receiving touchdowns, you're tied for first. When you look at your draft class and you see where you are, you're like, how is there more? What's left for Debo? Because when they talk about top receivers, you hear Devontae, you hear Justin Jefferson, you hear Jamar Chase, you hear Tyreek Hill. How does DK Metcalf get his name when they talk about best receivers in the NFL?
I mean, I think that's personal opinion in my book. I'm not trying to please anybody to be the best receiver in the league. I know who I am, and I know the DBs that have to cover me every Sunday, they know who I am, too. So that's all I care about is just going out there and just opposing my will on everybody that steps in front of me, because everybody else watching TV, they don't, really don't know what I do and what goes into actually a game plan or you know, establishing yourself as a top receiver in the league. So I know who I am as a person.
You know, they got this thing, Mahomes and Travis Kelce against who they play? Steph and Clay.
In golf.
Yeah. What about the race? DK Metcalf versus Tyreek. Tyreek said he's been calling you, he's been DMing you. He's been trying to get this race. He said he want this race because he tired of people saying somebody else other than Tyreek Hill is the fastest man in the NFL.
Look, my people reached out to his people. Just couldn't come to an agreement.
Really?
I've been trying to come to an agreement for 2 years now.
Skip, you're – so, hold on, you're –
Look
at that camera right there. Look at that camera, Tyreek.
Man, we've been trying to come to an agreement for 2 years. Just ain't worked out. You see me running the track meet. I didn't race against no 30-year-olds, but I raced against some real track and field athletes. So whenever you want to do that, hop on the track.
What are the issues? Why can't you come to an agreement?
They're trying to do it during July.
That's too close to the season.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you don't want to. You ain't tried to pull it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's not where it's like
no.
Or
no,
okay,
right,
it's just the month.
I don't know, DK. I don't know, DK. I mean, if I, you know, I got a little money. You know, I got like $5-$10. I might have to slide my hammer on a little reap. I got might have to go with the Georgia boy. I mean, you might be a little bit too big. I know you trimmed down a little bit, not too much, to run in that race. I don't know it at 235.
A lot of people don't know I was 240 when I ran that.
So. You were 240 when you?
Yes, sir.
I don't know, Tyreek. I'm going to have to slide my money back on over to DK.
What's Tyreek weigh now? Like
about 195.
190, 190, soaking wet with work boots on.
Hey.
Hey, appreciate
you, bro.
Thank you.
Best of luck. Stay healthy, man.
Yes, sir, I appreciate it.
I'd put my money on you, DK. I'll see you on the field next season. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Baseball is back, and so is Flippin' Bats.
5 times a week, Monday through Friday.
So follow us on the Fox Sports app, YouTube, and anywhere you get your podcasts.
And I won't back down. A minor calf strain kept Aaron Rodgers out of practice yesterday, but he did talk to the media about his Jets experience for the first time since that introductory press conference. Rodgers calls it, quote, a dream month. He also says, quote, every day I wake up excited about coming to the facility. Strong words. Shannon, what do you make of this?
It seems like a bit of an overkill to me, Skip, but I'm happy that he's happy. If he's happy to be there, it seems like a new system, a new place. I mean, he gets to refocus again, has to learn. I don't know how much of the terminology they're going to use from what they were in Green Bay, but Hackett was in Green Bay, and so maybe some of the terminology is the same. The biggest thing is he's wanted. He knew the Jets wanted him, and Green Bay no longer wanted his services. Mm. We want appreciation. We want validation. We want to be wanted. And so, Skip, for me, if he feels that way, that he's reinvigorated about the change of scenery, about a different voice in his ear, about a new fan base, I'm all for it.
Mm. I'll give you all that, but what was troubling to me is he already has a calf injury, so which is allowing him to miss OTAs.
I better just get old people get hurt.
Oh,
I don't know if you notice that old people get hurt.
Huh? I will just bet you that Aaron Rodgers at 39 will not be nearly as driven and committed as Brady was at 43 when during a pandemic he wound up in Tampa for the first time and he went down there possessed, obsessed with showing Belichick and Kraft how wrong they were, and you know what happened. I just don't get that feeling from Aaron. I know he's riding cloud nine, and it's dreamlike because Green Bay hasn't been enamored of him for about 3 years, mainly because he had home field advantage, and he lost to Brady in the NFC Championship game for the first time. He had a home NFC Championship game, and he turned right around the next year and had home field advantage, the one seed, and lost to San Francisco at home. And he turned right around last year, his final year, and they had a chance to make the playoffs by beating their rival Detroit on the final game at Lambeau, and they didn't do it.
Right.
So it was three straight flameouts at home in big games, and Green Bay finally said, we've just seen enough.
Right.
Well, will he revitalize in time to save the Jets and turn around the Jets? I just don't see it.
Man, you ask them an awful lot, Skip. You know vintage cars. I know you're a big car guy, but you know vintage cars. People don't drive them daily.
No.
He's a vintage car. He's an older car. And to go out there and to perform and drop back after drop back after drop back and to plant and to throw and to throw, you know, things are going to get sore and things are going to give. Shoulders, you know, a lot of times older quarterbacks have shoulder issues. Yeah. They're going to have lower extremities because, you know, calf and things of that nature. I just hope they got it, you know, it's something that doesn't linger until the season. Hopefully, you know, he gets this resolved and he goes and he has a clean season. And because I'm anxious to see what he can do, he and the Jets, I'm anxious to see what they can do.
Okay, so last year he started to fall off the proverbial cliff, the quarterback cliff. Because all of his numbers were down, down, down. Was it an unhappiness issue? Was it a beat-up issue because he had this and that and the other going on because he's an older quarterback? And I don't think he takes care of himself quite the way Brady always fanatically took care of himself or the way LeBron takes care of himself. So all of a sudden, are the Jets getting what they think they got? Because listen, the expectations will be higher on Aaron Rodgers than they've ever been.
Of course.
To me.
Yeah.
Because the Jets have never had a quarterback since Joe Namath, right? Late 60s into early 70s.
Give lumps a lot of time when you buy a car, as is. Ain't no warranty. You know what you're buying. You bought a 50-year-old car. So don't think you're going to get a resto mod that is if that body style, but everything is refurbished and brand new on the inside. You've got a 39-year-old quarterback. That's what you have.
Well, he better just hope his dream doesn't turn into a nightmare, because they're going to expect good old days, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it will be a bright spotlight, guys. The Jets have a ton of nationally televised games next season. The Ravens have a new offensive coordinator in Todd Monken, and Lamar Jackson was asked yesterday, how's he going to look in this new offense? Lamar answered he'd be doing, quote, less running and more throwing. A little bit of a change in identity here. Shannon, do you want to see Lamar run less, throw more?
I want to see Lamar win. And if running less helps him win, I'm all for that. It's about winning now. He's got the bag. He's got the financial security that he wanted. And so he doesn't have to worry about, man, Lamar Jackson's one hit away and he's not going to get paid. And I'm all for if throwing the football is going to happen. They've revamped their offense, Skip. They've signed Nelson Aguilar as a free agent. They've signed OBJ as a free agent. They drafted Zay Flowers in the first round.
They did.
So they've done a lot of things to give him. They kept Mark Andrews, who's one of the top three receiving tight ends in all of football.
Yep.
So they've given him weapons in order to for him to succeed at throwing the football.
Yep.
But now it's just about winning. And so whatever it's going to take, he has 4,400 over 4,400 rush yards, Skip, in his first five seasons. Obviously, that's the most. That's 1,230 more than Cam.
Yeah.
He's there. The Baltimore Ravens are 16-1 when he runs for 90 yards.
Yeah.
But the problem is the hits. He's taking 877 hits. That's far too many. And so I'm all for it. I want Lamar to succeed now. I think that, you know, they can't blame Greg Roman anymore. They got Todd Monken.
Yeah.
Emphasis on throwing the football. He said throw.
Yeah.
He wants to throw for 6,000. You can throw for 3,000, 5,000, 6,000. I want to see Lamar Jackson win and get a team and get the Ravens to the Super Bowl. That's what I want to see.
Okay. I hear everything you just said, and I co-sign. But I have one big concern.
What's that?
I'm still a little raw over what happened to Robert Griffin III.
Right.
Very different circumstance, but coming out of Baylor, I thought he was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he could be a little better than even Andrew Luck could be in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. He backed me up his rookie year. He won Offensive Rookie of the Year. He had a better year than Andrew Luck did as a rookie, and he led a Washington team coached by a guy you know pretty well. Mm-hmm. Both Mike and Kyle Shanahan coached those Washington, what they used to be, to the division title. And all seemed great until late in the year when Robert couldn't figure out how to slide.
Right.
And he hurt his knee, and then against Seattle in the playoff game at home, a game they led.
He originally hurt it against Baltimore, the Ravens. He tried to slide, and he got his leg bent some kind of way. Lodi Nada
got him. Got him good. Helicoptered him. And against Seattle, they had him dead to rights. And
it was up 14-0, right?
Up 14-0, going in to score. Mm-hmm. And he tweaked it again, and then it went.
Yeah.
And when it went, it completely went. Yep. It was wrecked. And then we went through this highly publicized rehab period, and it was no good. And Robert got a little too full of himself. But the problem was,
he was doing a documentary.
What's that?
He was doing the documentary about his rehab.
Yes.
You know, he got married in that offseason.
He did. And the next thing I hear from people inside the Washington front office is that his father went in to Coach Shanahan and said, hey, my son is now Peyton Manning. Well, he wasn't, because nobody's Peyton Manning. Maybe Tom Brady was Peyton Manning, Manning was Brady. But the point is, no, that's not exactly who you are.
Right.
You can throw it very well, but you need to occasionally keep him a little honest with your world-class speed.
Right.
He had world-class Olympic kind of hurdler speed.
He did.
And you know the rest of the story. It was not a pretty sight.
No.
What happened to Robert Griffin. So
because he tried to be something that he wasn't, Skip.
Okay, I got it. Look, you know and I know. Lamar was gifted in a way. It's just rare.
Right.
Because people make the case he's up there with Barry Sanders as in the open field, mm-hmm. Michael Vick, whoever you want to throw in there. He's up there with any of them.
Right.
He is as dangerous a breakaway runner as there is in the entire league. I don't care what position you play. And I don't want to see him not reach for that occasionally when it's called for.
Right.
Again, I get it. A little more throwing because he did win an MVP, and I kept defending him during his MVP year. He's throwing darts, man.
Yeah.
And you can't win the MVP. You can't lead the league in touchdown passes if you can't throw.
Exactly.
He can throw, but you don't want to abandon
right.
your gift.
Right.
Just because you got paid
right.
and you say, well, I don't want to risk at all anymore.
Skip, it's almost like, you know, Skip, you know how some people, they become famous or they come in something and they forget where they came from or who they were?
How did you get there?
Like, damn, I can't just forget all my roots. It's like, it's almost like he want to forget all of his roots. I'm throwing. So, I mean, are you going to go down and run it like three times a game or, you know, I think the situation should dictate what you need to do.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes doesn't run, but you see, without them legs, they're not winning that Super Bowl, Skip, because he took off twice, and it changed the game.
In the previous Super Bowl season, he took off against Tennessee, and I'm like, what? How did he do
yeah.
that? He's rumbling and stumbling, but it
yep.
works, man.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
He weighs 250-ish, but he – listen, Patrick, former shortstop,
right.
he's got supreme athletic ability. He can run.
I think what Lamar is hinting at, Skip,
yeah.
I think they're going to call more pass plays. They're going to call fewer runs, which will cause for him to run even less. He mentioned he's like, running can only take you so far, and I feel like this new era of teams and offense in the league, I feel like we need that. Coach Todd Monken, what I'm seeing in this offense so far, he's looking tremendous. So basically, we're not going to call 65, 70% runs. Because, and definitely not going to call quarterback power, quarterback ISO.
Yeah. Unless it's third and short
yeah,
late in the game where well, you just know they're not going to stop Lamar.
Hey.
Yeah.
Lamar, you want to go for it? Yeah. Let's go for it.
Okay, and, you go for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he is the man.
Yes.
Now, remember, their identity, back to your days there, is they run the football
They've always
down
been
your throat.
Team.
They just, that's who they are.
That's
it's been their culture.
Because they pride themselves on defense. Now, the defense is slacked a little bit, Skip. It's not like what it was in the 2000. And, you know, they had Ray and they had Suggs. They had Ed Reed. It's not that, but they're formidable. They need to get back on the secondary. Hump is played well last year. Marcus Peters, you know, he hit a miss, Skip, you know. But they re-signed Roquan Smith. Patrick Queen is there. They didn't pick up his option, so he has something to play for.
He does.
They lost Calais Campbell. So we'll see. But you know what happens, Skip? When you pay that kind of money for a quarterback, you're no longer a defensive team.
Yeah.
You're an offensive team now.
Yes, I agree.
And when you do what they did offensively with OBJ and Nelson Aguilar and Zay Flowers, Skip, that's what you are now.
Okay, I got it. So here's why I would have paid Lamar every last penny that he got and then some. Because once you get him in the heat of battle, he is one of those guys – he will do whatever is required to win the football game.
Yeah.
So we're now in May, and he's saying, less running, more throwing. Okay, great. And that's sort of the quasi-plan right now.
Right.
Let him get into October and November, and let's see what starts happening.
Bet.
You know and I know what will happen when push comes to shove.
Lamar will take off on him.
If they need a play, he will take off, and he will make the play.
Yes.
And I do think, unlike RG3, who became RG me, but RG3 could not figure out how to get down. It's not that hard. The game is rigged to protect you if you give yourself up.
Well, Skip, normally the quarterback that can slide, they don't run as fast as RG3.
No.
<That's>, you know,
well, or Lamar.
Lamar, so it's kind of hard. But these guys have, you know, Russell Wilson was good at it, but Russ played baseball. So you got to learn how can you play baseball and not know how to slide? So it was an easy thing for him.
Yeah.
So as a scrambling quarterback, a lot of them guys, but you know, John played baseball.
Yeah.
So guys that played baseball is natural. But to run as fast as RG3 and Lamar running and try to slide, man, they're going to be like a ball tumbling down the field.
Okay. But Lamar can do it. He can get down and he has
get out of bounds too. It's okay.
All that's cool. But you can't lose your complete identity
because you
are a devastating runner. Right. You can take their soul away with your legs.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes ranked 7th in annual pay in the NFL. Yesterday, Mahomes told reporters, quote, "I've always said I worry about legacy and winning rings more than making money at this moment. We see what's going on around the league, but at the same time, I'll never do anything that's going to hurt us from keeping the great players around me." Very Tom Brady-esque. Shannon, should Mahomes prioritize winning over being the NFL's highest paid player?
Pat Mahomes should prioritize what's important to Patrick Mahomes, Skip. But they make it seem like Pat Mahomes making $5 an hour. Hell, Skip, he got a $450 million contract. He's making $45 million a year.
It was still team friendly.
It was. But see, here's the thing, though. Yeah. He's like, okay, yeah, I break the bank. Now I lose Travis Kelce. I lose Chris Jones. Okay. Now what have I done? I'm making a ton of money, but I'm losing games. He said, but this is what he knew. As long as he kept his nose clean, they're going to come back and see him. Y'all really thought. That he was going to play all 10 years under this deal. Really? Mm. Y'all know how they do them quarterbacks. They take care of them quarterbacks.
Yeah, they're going to
come back.
They will.
They're going to come back and revisit this, Skip.
Yep.
And plus, he has the luxury of having something that most of them don't. He does $20 million a year in endorsements off the field.
He does.
So he ain't missing no money. Yeah, they're going to take care of him. He's about to be the highest paid. They might make the contract, Skip, 10 years, $750 million.
Yeah.
But Patrick Mahomes is saying legacy is important to him. Skip, at the end of the day, yeah, he can have a boatload of money, but how is he going to be remembered? Mm-hmm. He's like, man, I got a chance. I don't know if I'm going to catch him, but I got a chance to catch old GOAT. Because I'm in front of his pace, Skip. You know, at the Olympics, Skip, you see him swimming. He's ahead of world record pace. Patrick Mahomes is swimming. He's in front of the line.
It's still a long way
to go. He got a long way to go, Skip, but he's in front of the line right now.
Okay, I got it. But this whole philosophy is what I respect most about this kid, and he's still a kid.
Yeah.
And I credit my old friend Lee Steinberg, his agent, for helping shape his view and his perspective on this because he is wise beyond his years.
Yes.
Listen, the money will take care of itself.
Yes.
You can't get greedy too early because the pot of gold is at the end. It's sitting out there. If you could win 8 Super Bowls, you'd go down as the greatest ever. I mean, some people already think he is the greatest ever.
Let's take this for the sake of argument, Skip. When he does this deal, let's just say he goes and says, you know what? I want to blow the market away. That's team friendly. I ain't doing no team friendly. So guess what? He ain't gonna have Chris Jones because he left money on the table so they can keep Chris Jones.
Yeah.
He not gonna have Trav. He probably wouldn't have had Tyreek. One of them had to go early. Now Tyreek ended up getting traded, Skip.
Yeah.
But so he took a team-friendly deal, so y'all can keep these great players around me. That increases my chances of winning MVPs, winning Super Bowls.
Yeah.
You remove that, now I'm just a high-paid quarterback that ain't doing nothing.
You just said you can make $20 million just off the field alone.
That's what he made.
And watch
only Brady make more.
And watch that skyrocket as you win a third and a fourth.
Yes.
You're a good guy.
Right.
You're well-liked. You handle yourself well. You're mature beyond your years. You got it all.
Yes.
There's no reason to hold them hostage. There's no reason to go to the bitter end with them on some
contract battle. And they'll be right back. He's going to do another deal.
And guess what?
In 3 years, Skip, they're going to be right back. We're having this conversation again, having this same conversation.
Yep.
And Patrick Mahomes will be like, hey, I'm good. I done got 2 more Super Bowls up under my belt.
He is in a sweet spot.
He in the catbird seat.
He is. It's the catbird.
If you ever set up a catbird seat, he's in it.
He's in it.
Indeed he is, guys. The countdown to the NFL season is on. We've got the schedule. Now we will see how everything shapes up with these OTAs that are underway and mini camps. Yesterday, Shams reported LeBron James played through the last few months of the season, including the playoffs, with a torn tendon in his foot that could require off-season surgery. Woo! Shannon, what's your reaction?
I mean, this is not anything shocking. Everybody knew this. Everybody knew. They saw LeBron, how he played from his birthday to February 7th. We heard him say, I heard a pop. We came out here and talked about it. And Skip said, well, you heard a pop? How you still playing?
Well, he kept playing. He played right through it.
Did he say he heard a pop?
He did see it.
Okay. Right. What did Sean report?
We're showing the play right here, I believe. Yep. Okay. It was a sort of a non-contact.
Yeah. He said, I heard a pop.
Okay.
He said, I heard a pop.
Okay. And then he played 10 minutes of that fourth quarter. That was late third.
Yes.
He played 10 minutes. He scored 11 more points. He made 5 out of 9 shots, 1 of 3 from three. Didn't get the free throw line, but he still scored 11 points through the fourth quarter, and they hung on to win 111 to 108.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Just for the record, that's what happened.
Gabe Vincent sprained his ankle. We saw it.
Yeah.
He came back in the game and played the rest of the game, right? He missed the following game, right?
He went to the locker room.
But did he come back out and play?
Just a little bit. He didn't play very much because the game was
out of hand,
completely out of control.
So the question is, I'm asking you, from December 30th to February 7th, when he was 100% healthy, and after he said he heard the pop, did you notice any difference in LeBron James' play? Yes or no?
Maybe some, but did you notice any difference in the first quarter of Game 4?
Skip.
What happened in the first quarter of Game 4?
Skip, see, that's the thing.
No, but I mean, did he play?
Yes, he played.
And?
Skip, when you're injured, you can give it to you once in a while.
I'm not doubting he's injured. I'm just saying he just kept right, he played right on through.
But here's the thing. I remember when the report came out after the season that Tom Brady had to have a meniscus. Oh, he did it. He played on a torn meniscus. I don't know how you believe everything somebody would.
He played on a torn ligament.
Okay, saying. Ligament.
Yeah.
The meniscus is a ligament, right?
No. No, meniscus cartilage.
So what do you have?
MCL tear.
Okay.
Okay.
Why is it that you believe everything someone tells you about Tom Brady when it comes to an injury, but you have your doubts when they mention anything?
I don't have my doubts.
But you say you didn't know everybody saw Skip. So how do you go from being player of the month for the month of January, averaging 35 points a game, to all of a sudden you missing point-blank layups? You see LeBron was not elevating like he was during that stretch. So you chalk it up to Father Time?
That's I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
But I also scored 21 points in the first quarter was what the other night? It was the most points he's ever scored in any playoff quarter.
So probably,
then he went on to score 10 in the second quarter, which gave him the most points he's ever scored in a half of a playoff game. 31 points.
Prior to that, so from that stretch from December, so the six-week stretch, December 30th to February 7th, did you notice LeBron James at any point pace himself? You saw how many chase downs did he have? He was getting 2-3 chase.
Time out. Why are you – look, this is old news. We already did this.
No.
But it's very old news.
No, but the thing was is that you
– I believe something was wrong. I told you something was wrong. I told you what I got a hold of a prominent surgeon, national surgeon, who does a whole lot of NBA players. They sent him the x-rays at this point, right after this pop game. Mm-hmm. And they said, can you consult on this? And he said, I looked at it. I didn't see a tendon problem as much as I saw both ankles are just a mess because he's got so much scar tissue. He thought that he was going to need some ankle surgery cleanup. So I told you, yes, he's hurt. He is struggling on both ankles because how many times have we watched him turn it? You think Gabe Vincent turned his ankle?
Right.
I've seen LeBron turn the knob of
his ankle bone
to the floor.
Yes.
I've seen it. I know what that feels like from running shoes. It is horrible. And how many times, Shannon, has he popped right up during the game and just shook off his ankle turn and played through it?
Right.
Well, at some point, if you play the most minutes ever in playoff plus regular, your ankles are going to wear out if you do that enough. So whatever it is, it could be a tendon, it could be the ankles. I don't know. I just tell you what I told. I believe he's got some issues that need to be surgically addressed.
I
think you can scope them. I don't think it's going to require a big surgery on the tendon.
Well, I was at a couple of games, and it seemed like every time he came out of the game, he would take that shoe off and he would roll it over something. Because from his birthday until he passed Kareem on February 7th, he averaged 34 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. He shot 52% from the floor, 34% from three.
Yep.
And he was chasing down. He was unstoppable. After the injury, 10 points fewer, the same amount of rebounds, 2 assists, 4 percentage points, and 5 percentage points from three.
Okay.
Difference.
I got it. I'm not arguing, but this was not news to me. And I think you opened up by saying this is old story, right?
For me.
Hey, and you say you don't listen to the sound.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I heard through three rounds of the playoffs, LeBron's playing on a hurt foot. It was constant. It was a barrage of LeBron's playing on a bad foot.
I didn't have no sources. I'm just looking at just watching him from my television and then watching him the way he played before that injury and then seeing him after that injury. It was clear to me. I didn't need a doctor to tell me that there's something wrong with his foot.
Okay.
I know something's wrong with his foot. But even if the doctor hadn't told me it was a foot, I would know something was wrong based on the way he was playing.
Okay. My issue with LeBron in the four games against Denver was simply this. Hurt or no, I'll give you hurt.
Yeah.
But you're still LeBron bleeping James. And four straight times against the team that will be picked, be favored over whichever team comes out. I'm pretty sure Denver's going to be favored over if it's Boston or definitely over Miami.
Yes.
Because Miami's a 3.5-point dog at home to Boston.
Correct.
Would Denver be favored over Boston?
It's going to be close. Okay. It's almost even money probably.
Okay. Speaking of even money, the Lakers had four straight chances. And I thought this was going to be a home and home series. I thought it was going to go seven, and I gave Denver the slight edge in a game seven in Denver, only because it was mile high Denver.
Okay.
The point is, they just needed a shot here or there, a clutch play here or there, a defensive play here or there, just something.
Right.
Because every time it came to push or shove in the fourth quarter, either Joker or Jamal made a play. And it could be offense or defense.
True.
Even Jamal's last play on LeBron on the drive.
Right.
They made the pivotal key play. Where you look back and you say, oh, but he did that, right? He did that. It's timely. It's you gotta.
Right.
And they had four straight chances. That's why this whole idea of let's blow up the roster and start. Why?
No.
I loved what I saw. Yeah. Give this roster a whole training camp and a whole year to figure itself out. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So all I know is my disappointment with LeBron, and it could be you can attribute at least part of it to whatever foot injury he had, is that he went 7 of 23 in the four fourth quarters. He's better than that. 7 of 23. That's
from 30%. Three, though, right?
No, from the field.
Okay.
From the floor. He was 1 of 10 from three in the four fourth quarters.
Yes.
And then for the whole series, I loved his numbers. Tuesday morning, I told you, man, I can't argue with 28, 10, and 10 because, Shannon, for 38 year 20, 28, 10, and 10 in the Western Conference Finals, that will stand the test of time.
Right.
That's sensational given stage and age.
Right.
Okay. But what I don't love is he takes and misses too many threes because in this series he shot 27% from three, which
That's
was 7
enough.
Of 26. It's not good enough. For the playoffs, he was 26% the three rounds. They got away with it against Memphis and Golden State. But it was the third worst shooting by a single player in a whole playoff run in history. And the first worst was LeBron in 2015. Well, a lot of times he's so good at all the other stuff that you just overcome it and get away with it. But against Denver, they're just too good.
Right. And Skip, I think a lot of that had to do with, you say, the fourth quarters. I think sometimes the mind is willing, but the body isn't able.
Okay, well, you could be right. Okay, so what were the turning points? Remember game one, he comes down, and even you said, I don't know, because he's just better. He pulls up at 45 seconds left on Jamal and shoots a three and kind of kicks his foot out like trying to get a cheap foul because it was way wide right, and I don't think his heart was in this shot. Here we go. This is the KCP miss. Had him on the ropes at this point. This is at Denver game one. Boy, if you win this game, I got you in the series here.
Especially after you come from behind.
From behind, and he just said, I got, and he kicked his leg out, and it's way wide right. Anyway, the point is, then game two, this isn't the end of the world, but he makes a great steal. He plays center field, plays free safety.
Yep.
He goes Ed Reed, and Jamal tries a cross-court pass, and he picks it, and then he goes up and under, and I guess he was a little wary of Aaron Gordon over the top, but man, if he makes this shot, you cut it to two. I like your chances right here. And usually, heck, a lot of times, he might just dunk this.
Skip, he just flat out smoked.
Okay, he did. Is that a lift problem? Could be.
Yes.
Listen, there is a time 10 years ago.
He'd have dunked it.
I'm pretty sure he reverse dunks
it. He dunked it.
And he might and one it. Okay. That was that game. And then we get to game four, and you know and I know what happened. I didn't like the play they called on the – you got two late shots.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're daring him to shoot the shooter. Daring, and then he goes to Schroeder, who tries to hot potato over to Austin Reeves in the corner, and he gets knocked out of bounds. Well, now you only have 3.6 seconds left on the clock, and they don't get a shot up, and LeBron gets stuck in the corner with a fadeaway that hits the side of the backboard. It's just no good. It's no good. I don't like anything about it. You can do better than that.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, that's a coaching error to me, where somebody's got to come up with a better idea for that. Okay, then we get to the last play, and I loved it that LeBron just said, I am LeBron bleeping James. I'm putting my head down. I'm going to go to the basket. If I have to shoot these free throws, I'll shoot these free throws. That's still the fadeaway. Now we get to the last play here, and he just goes, and this is perfect. And Jamal makes the defensive play of the year. The whole year, you can't find a better defensive play than that. That is a playoff turning play. It's a playoff making play. That play put them in the NBA Finals for the first time in their history.
It did.
Because he jumped the route. He crossed the path of LeBron because he anticipated and got completely on his ball side and stymies him by basically pulling the ball away from it. And then Aaron Gordon gets the cheapest block in the history of the NBA playoffs. Okay, so again, foot injury, I give you this. I'm hoping, depending on what the severity is, I'm hoping that we hear in the next 2 or 3 days, maybe by Monday, that he's going to have some surgery, because the sooner the better for next year.
Well, I think the thing is he's waiting for the doctor to say, well, probably with time it'll heal on its own. Because, Skip, I mean, he's really never had, I don't know for the maybe, and we've never heard about it, had them go into his body. And I'm sure he doesn't want to start that, Skip, going into year 21.
Well, he has. He's never, right?
You're right. To my knowledge.
I don't know anything.
Right. So
no knees, no shoulders, no Achilles, obviously. Right. No ankles.
So, you know, at this stage of the at this juncture of the game, you ain't really trying to have no surgery.
No.
The later you get, you try to have less surgery.
I know. And yet, on a daily basis, we hear that so-and-so's having surgery. Jimmy Garoppolo, The Athletic reported yesterday, he just had foot surgery. Really?
Like, damn. It was obviously they played a game, football game in four months.
Okay, so it happens to humans.
Right.
And he is
human.
He has been superhuman, and he has been Iron Man.
Right.
But after a certain point, you just can't keep on keeping
it. But will you concede this, that you've heard people since the playoffs started, that Father Time is touching LeBron, and they're not mentioning anything about the injury?
We heard it a bunch of times.
Okay.
We heard Brian Windhorst saying he's getting texts. I don't know if those people were thinking because he's hurt, but that – he's hit the wall like this is the end.
But I would like to ask Wendy, how many texts did you get from December 30th to February 7th that mentioned anything about Father Time? They might have called and asked, what time are you meeting? What time will you be free? But they didn't mention anything about Father or Time.
Well, he might have gotten texts during that period about LeBron's going to play 10 more years.
He's playing at, I bet he got a bunch of texts saying LeBron is playing at an MVP level. I bet he got a bunch of those.
No, he was.
He was.
At that point. But remember, back in, I'm reading that old story, what came out right after February 26th, and he said he found the LeBron James of foot doctors who told him, you can play through this, and it's going to be okay.
Yeah, right? It's all about how you can talk. But Skip, think about this. Even after the injury, he averaged 24 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists.
Okay.
That's not shabby.
Well, who wouldn't take that?
But
I mean, what team wouldn't take that from player X or Y?
Well, see, when you the GOAT, you see the expectations that you have of the GOAT.
You were doing great until you went to GOAT.
Did you see the expectations? Because what you did, Skip, is that you didn't compare him to any other great player.
Mm.
You compared him to a younger self.
Mm.
Huh?
Well, if we want to start comparing him to that guy up in Chicago, then we don't have enough show.
Liz Taylor got compared to no one. She got compared to a younger Liz Taylor. You see what I did with that girl, Bayless? When you gorgeous like that, they compare you to your younger self.
Really?
When you that great, they compare you to your younger self. They don't compare you to other greats.
Hmm.
They compare you to a younger you.
Did you ever see Raquel Welch?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Ooh.
In the movie Dirty
Jim Brown.
Jim Brown was Dirty with the Dirty Dozen?
No. 100
Riflemen. Yeah. Yeah, I saw her.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw her.
Well, if we compare Liz to Raquel,
But you compare Raquel to a younger Raquel.
Yeah.
So when you compare the GOAT, you compare the GOAT, the Billy GOAT, to the baby GOAT.
The billionaire GOAT.
Yeah, old Billy.
Yeah, I
B-I-L-L-I, Billy.
Except Michael is the...
There you go.
Wait. He's the triple Billy Goat.
There you go.
Is he not the triple? He's like for $3
billion. I'm just saying. Why you got to bring Mike in? I ain't even mentioned Mike.
Mike. Yeah, he's in a... He's like in another league, like in another echelon, another galaxy far, far away. That's true. Okay,
look, I give everybody that. Knows Mike is the foundation. He's what everybody else is trying to copy. Mm. Now, he's not, you know, Mike didn't really, you know, like these guys now, Skip. See, Mike gave him the blueprint. Mike, you know, once he got out, he was the shoe thing. But once he got out, he started doing, you know, doing other things. Now these guys are doing it while they're playing because they're making so much. Well, how much money do you think Michael made in his career? $65, $70 million, $80 million?
He always took a hometown discount.
I remember when Mike was making $5 million a year.
He was. Correct.
I mean, his last 2 years is when Mike made real money.
Yeah.
Skip these guys making $40 or $50 million a year.
Well, when he started making real money, if you see the movie Air, is when his mom said he will get a percentage. This is when he's a rookie, going into his rookie year. He will get a percentage of every shoe sold.
Yes.
Well, that only made him several $1 billion, right?
Yes.
But who knew?
I finally saw the movie.
It's a good one.
They had a little fabrication. Know, they got a little embellishing.
You know,
but the storyline of how it came to be.
I thought it touched my heart.
He was going to Adidas if it wasn't for his mom.
That is correct.
Because Cons, at the time, North Carolina wore Converse.
They did.
But it was Adidas, Cons, Nike. Nike wasn't what it is right
they
now.
They were a running shoe.
And Sonny Vaccaro did a good job of, he didn't go there, but said, she's looking at him like, okay, well, if you got Magic and Bird and you got Dr. J, how does my son stand out? But he'll be Magic. He'd say, nah, my son will stand alone.
Mama knew best.
Mama knew best.
Yes.
Mamas always know best. Yeah. Wise words. Guys, real quick, back to LeBron. The other interesting thing that Shams had to say on the Pat McAfee show yesterday to me was that he fully believes he's going to re-energize, reset this offseason, and play again next season. So,
can you imagine
good news for LeBron
fans. I can imagine.
NBA Finals, here we come.
Really?
NBA Finals, here we come. Whew. Here we come.
I won't bet against that.
Yeah,
you let's should. Find out.
You lose your money.
And I won't back down. Jaylen Brown had 21 points in the Celtics' 110-97 victory over the Heat in Game 5 last night. After the contest, Brown talked about how they got the win and how they can keep winning. Take a listen.
Started on defense. We set the intensity, and we came out and we played good basketball tonight. And it looked fun out there. We just got to be consistent. Tonight we were the tougher playing team. We set this on from start to finish, and we had a great team win. We hit shots, and they let us get two. So don't let us get another one. Only thing that can stop us is us. We just got to come out and play our game, have fun, and let God do the rest.
Series sits at 3-2. Shannon, do you agree or disagree with Jaylen Brown?
Skip, I don't think the Heat let them win. I think Boston played better in games 4 and 5 than they did the previous three games, and that's why they won. The Heat had 23. The defense was outstanding, as you mentioned. Tip off, the Heat win the toss. They get the ball to Bam, and next thing you know, Marcus Smart has it. Jason Tatum has the ball going the other way. It's 2-0.
Seriously, the game ended right there. Seriously, if you look hard at it, that was the end of it.
Right. Yeah. That might have been the fastest 2 points that a team has scored that didn't win the tip. Anybody. Forced Miami to 16 turnovers, 27 points off of that. They did a great job of just organized chaos. That's like they were a step faster than what Miami was accustomed to. Outscored the Heat starters by 44 points, Skip. Jimmy Butler shot 12 of 25 in each of the first two games, but the blowouts. But then he took 21 shots in game 4, made just 9, and took 10 shots in last night's game, made, half of those. The key to is to neutralize Jimmy. They go as Jimmy go. Even though Skip in game 3, he didn't have, but he draws so much attention. All your eyes are over here. Well, while you're looking at Jimmy doing all this, Gabe Vincent jacking up a 3. Caleb Martin has one. Strews has one. Now you got to deal with Bam, somebody throwing Bam a lob. They've done a great job of controlling Jimmy while keeping those guys, those three-point guys in check, because the question is, though, and I'm going to go back to it again.
Yep.
Do you believe that the Miami Heat will shoot in game 6 from the 3 like they did in games 1, 2, and 3? Because in games 4 and 5, they were awful. And they lost by double digits in both games. If they do not shoot the three ball well, Skip, I don't believe Jimmy Butler can score enough, because even though he had 35, it was the timely three-point shots that ultimately saved the day for him.
Okay.
So I'm going back again. I like what I'm seeing from the Celtics. I think they're gaining confidence. They're starting, guys, we can be the first to do something that nobody had ever done, and then no one think we could do but us.
Okay. The flip of that is you're telling an extremely proud and veteran Miami Heat team and culture and organization that they are going down in historical flames, that they are going to be the first in 100, and this would be 51 times, to blow an 0-3 lead. You would go down in history as the first.
You the one that said it's going to happen eventually.
Well, again.
You said you might not be around to see it, but it would happen. But you're going to be around to see this, and it's going to happen Monday night.
It's going to be over tomorrow night.
No.
And I loved that Jaylen Brown said what he said, because he was just speaking from the heart. Mm-hmm. He just believes they're much better. He had another quote after game three, I believe, where he just said they're overachieving, basically. I forget how he said it, but he was just basically saying they're playing way over their heads.
Yeah.
Is that the truth, or are they just a little better than you are as a team, as a culture, with chemistry, with unity?
I think they're playing over their heads.
Okay. I don't. I think we've seen who they are against the Milwaukee Bucks. They dismantled the Bucks, right?
Yes.
And
but, Skip, you have to say, but let me ask you a question. You say playoff Jimmy. When did we see Jimmy Butler do anything that he did against Milwaukee and the Knicks? We didn't see that in the regular season. You talk about that. The man didn't make the All-Star. He didn't make second-team All-NBA. So when did we see that? Look at the performance that he put up against Milwaukee. We never saw that. So I've
seen it in the postseason
before. Yes!
I saw it against the Lakers in the bubble.
Yes!
I saw it against Boston in the bubble. I saw it against Milwaukee in the bubble. I saw it. He has a lengthy history of turning into playoff Jimmy when they need him to.
Right.
Unfortunately, against your Lakers, unfortunately for them, it got to game six.
He was out of gas.
And he was spent. And not only did he hit the wall, he was off the wall. Like it was like a weird Jimmy game where you're like, well, go, do something. No, he's got nothing.
Well, he spent all his money on candy and chips.
That was it.
It didn't have anything for soda.
Okay, so, or for Gatorade, maybe, because he needed some Gatorade. But the point is, you are poking a bear. You are not letting a sleeping dog lie. You are waking the sleeping dog.
Wake him up.
You are saying, we're bigger dogs than you are. We're bigger, badder dogs than you are. And if we just do what we keep doing here, what we just did for two games, we are clearly superior to you. So Jaylen is just basically saying, he's sending a signal to the Heat. If we do what we do, you guys are done.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's what he's saying. The only team that can stop us is us.
Because in football, if we play our best, you play your best, you can't beat us. The only way you beat us is you play your best and we don't play our best. So Boston is saying, Miami, if you play your best, we play our best, we're better than you.
I disagree with that.
I don't.
Because if Miami plays its best, especially at home, you're going to lose because they're smarter than you are. They're shrewder than you are.
So let me ask you a question.
They're tougher mentally and physically than you are. That's what I believe.
Boston, start to finish. Boston plays their best. That means JT and JB will have somewhere between 70 and 80 points. How do you get that?
You get it from Gabe Vincent, like Max Strus last night. What did he go? 1 of 5. Watch. Just watch what's about to happen. It's about to rain threes on your head.
You better hope so.
Jimmy's going to orchestrate.
You better hope.
He's not going to make a single three. He might make one just for fun.
You better hope it's raining threes.
Yeah. Did you see Caleb Martin last night? I thought he was pretty good. He just wasn't good enough early enough to get them back in the game.
There it is. Yes, he.
Okay.
Huh? You know, it don't really. Huh? It don't really.
Did you notice what Duncan Robinson did last night? He was 7 of 10 and made 2 threes. I thought he was really good, right?
You do know.
He scored 18 off the bench.
You know about that Miami weather, a little pop-up shower?
Yeah.
So y'all might have a little pop-up flurry of them three-pointers, but it ain't sustainable. It ain't going to sustain.
You know, I will admit to you, I love and hate the three-point shot because you want to talk about dramatic impact on games. It becomes like we've
You're
talked
never
about.
Out of it.
Once upon a time, this league or basketball in general was all about the slam dunk. We lived for the slam dunk and the slam dunk contest. Now I live for the three-point shootout because during games, you are going to live and die by the three. And the truth is, both teams live and die by
they
the
do.
Three. One more in the regular season. This team, Miami, more in the postseason.
Right.
So it's time for them to have a three-point shootout game.
Yeah. Skip, you know, back in the, you know, when you transition or you run the fast break, you got guys trying to fill the lane. Now you got one guy running to the three-point line. You got a guy filling the lane, but you got another trailer. He going to the three-point line. He's like, let me get it to him. Man, coach would lose his mind back in the day. He passed that ball back.
You'd be out of the game.
You would.
Okay, so it's going to have to start from the start. Jimmy said after the game, we have to be ready for their onslaught.
It's coming.
Yeah, because they weren't ready for either of these two games, the last two games, especially the one last night. I knew it was going to happen. They just weren't ready.
Yeah.
You have to match their intensity, their energy, and ultimately their physicality because you are highly capable of doing that. But I, in general, really liked the way the Heat played after the first quarter because they settled right in and they won the last three quarters. And I think they feel real good about themselves going into tomorrow night. And I hope that the off day quotes that Boston keeps poking that bear or waking that sleeping dog.
Well, theoretically, Skip, you only run the fourth quarter because you got outscored by two in the second quarter and you got outscored by one in the third quarter. So, but that was only 3 points and you had 25-20 in the fourth. But JT and all them guys had sat down, so we let y'all make y'all feel good.
Final score of the last three quarters, 77-75 this
year. Yeah, but you.
Okay. The Heat bench outscored your bench 53-15. That bodes well.
What about the starters? How bad did my starters outscore your starters?
94-46.
Plus 51.
Yep.
Is that a lot?
Yep. The only stat that I focus upon is that your best player went 1 of 6 from three. Will he go 6 of 6 from three?
Well, the only thing that I focus on that I had a good night the other night, because guess what? Guess who came to the restaurant? The entire Heat organization. No, and I laid it out for them.
They don't come yet.
Yeah, they do.
They don't come until it's over.
They came last night.
Did they? Well, maybe they just needed to refuel.
And they'll be back. And guess what? I don't normally open on Saturday, but I'm going to stay open Saturday late.
Really?
Yeah, I normally close at 3.
At 3?
Yeah.
Saturday? It's Saturday night.
I'm more of a breakfast brunchy spot.
Really?
Yeah, I'm starting to clean up, shut it down. Yeah. I got a life, too.
Huh.
Yeah, you think I'm going to sit there and slave over a hot stove in the kitchen while everybody else having a good time? I want to get out and have a good time, too.
Then you're like Ernestine and I's favorite place in Beverly Hills. We go to Nosh.
Okay.
Do you know Nosh?
I don't know Nosh.
Okay, it's a deli.
Okay.
Okay, but it closes every day at like 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
So that's what you are. You're a deli.
No. But I got good stuff.
Do you?
Yeah, that French toast, my ass. Ooh.
Oh, so you're more of a breakfast place.
Breakfast brunch, you know.
Huh. Boy, that egg white omelet at Nosh. Woo.
Man.
Die for. Little broccoli.
Know. That used to be my thing, Skip. When I went out, you know, I'm eating all healthy, eating egg white, you know.
No, you don't.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Somebody's going to get cooked tomorrow night.
You?
Yeah, because Jimmy's going to get in somebody's kitchen and do a bunch of cooking.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll see you Monday.
Yeah.
You guys have two cases on this one.
Two.
I'm proud of you for stepping up.
Might be a third one coming soon.
Might.
Oh, stay tuned, everybody. Maybe we can get a third case before the show ends. The Fox Bet Sportsbook line on this one, guys. Celtics by 3. Time will tell.